I want to talk about the life's greatest joy. Now, there are many joys in life. Most of us remember having a good childhood home. Special days we spent with our families, like Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Father's Day, all special days. Young people in high school and college falling in love, getting married, going on a honeymoon. Other people remember succeeding at worthwhile endeavors in their lives. This is graduating from high school, graduating from college, making the team in an athletic venture, getting a good job after high school, college, or becoming a parent, having children. There is joy that surpasses all these I've just mentioned to you. If you've experienced joy, this lesson may remind you of your blessing in the past. If you need to be encouraged tonight, to find joy, perhaps you will after this lesson's over. Isaiah preached and prophesied during a time when God's people had drifted away from God. As Jim announced this morning, we'll be looking at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 12, and that's what we'll do right now. Isaiah wrote these words about Israel. He wrote, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, they may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." What's Isaiah saying here? He's talking about those who seek for God, those who seek God. I want to look at the first place tonight about an exhortation. This is an exhortation about all that are seekers. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Seek the Lord while you have the breath in your body to understand who the Lord is, who God is, how he can be found, and find him and be obedient to him. But you know, not all people who seek for something seek God. Not all people seek God because they're not interested in God. All people in the world seek something, though. Some people in the world seek material things of life. They think that the material things of life are the more important things. Life's greatest joy says that one who seeks after the Lord, he can find the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, Jesus said, just before he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In verse 32, he says, "For all these things that the Gentiles seek, He was talking about material things before verse 32. He says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." God knows we have need of everything. That's the reason he said in verse 33, he said, don't worry about the material world. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things modify what he said in verse 31 and back. All the things of life. He said, God knows you need of shelter. God knows you need clothes. God knows you need food. God knows what's best for you. But some seek the things of life. Some are more interested in the material things of life that's going to be destroyed at the end of time, because Peter said that the earth and all that therein will be destroyed at the end of time. Some also seek worldly wisdom. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 20 through 22. And we'll see where the Apostle Paul talks about worldly wisdom. There are two types of wisdom under consideration. He says, begin 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Paul asked a series of questions here. He said, who is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now Paul discusses two different types of wisdom there. He talks about the wisdom of the world. He says the wise, the scribe, the disputer of the world, they consider the wisdom of the world the primary focus of their lives. They consider the wisdom of the world more important than the wisdom of God. But in verse 21, Paul said, for the wisdom of God, by the wisdom of God, these people in verse 20 didn't know who God was. They didn't know who God was, because God chose, as Paul termed it, the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching about his son. Preaching about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15. Preached about how one can get into the church by baptism. And being added to the church. Paul says to the Jews, this message wasn't important. To the Greeks, this message wasn't important. The Jews required some sign from God that they would, that God would know, that they would know what God wanted them to do. And the Greeks, or the Gentiles, he said they would seek after their own wisdom. And we have that in our society today. People even, quote, who say they preach the truth, unquote, talk about what? They talk about their own wisdom. They talk about their own view of the Scriptures. They don't preach Jesus and Him crucified, because they want to impress people with their knowledge. With their knowledge of what they learned in the seminary. But Paul said, we preach Christ and Him crucified. That's all they knew. None of these men that walked with Jesus had a college education. None of these men that walked with Jesus had an education in which they had a degree so they could preach. None of them. But the Bible says, and Paul says, that we preach Christ and Him crucified. Paul was an educated man, though. In the school of Gamaliel, but he also recognized that that God and His message about His Son was more important than his view of God or His Son, because his view of Jesus had been changed on that road to Damascus, and subsequently in Damascus after Ananias had talked to him. And then he in Acts 22:16, as Jim pointed out this morning, that Ananias told Saul, his name was Saul at that time, says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." But there are also some who not only seek worldly wisdom, but they seek to please men. Well, that happens in our society. In the religious realm, people preach to please men. They want to preach what the people want to hear, not what God wants people to preach. Paul said, I shun to declare the whole counsel of God. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, here was a people that Paul had talked to. They was Christians. And he's talking about how they were so soon removed. And he asked a series of questions in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? He said, okay, who am I preaching about? I'm preaching about men, or I'm preaching about God? Or who do I seek to please? Do I seek to please men? The answer to the first question, he was seeking to please, to persuade men to accept God. The answer to the second question, he didn't seek to please men. He said, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He said, I have no right to be the servant of Jesus Christ if I'm going around seeking to please men and preaching about what men want me to preach. But there's also, in this point, an exciting possibility. And that's found in Acts chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. Now this is Paul's sermon on Mars Hill. He's talking to the people in Athens, Greece. And he says that they should seek the Lord. He's talking about seeking the Lord. He's talking about seeking God. If haply they might feel after him and find him. He says it is possible to seek God, to feel after him, and to find him. Though he be not far from every one of us. God is not far from every one of us, said Paul. God sees all our activities and hears all our words. And then he says, for in him, in God, it's because of God that we live. Jim just sang, led us in that song. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. For in him, in God, we live and move and have our being, as certain of the own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Literally, though, people know in Athens, Greece, that they had some concept about God. But their own poets have said that they lived and they moved and they had their being in God. When one seeks for God, that individual uses his or her intellect. When one feels for God, that individual uses their emotion. So we can see it's possible, and God wants us to seek him. God wants us to find him. God wants us to be committed to him, and God wants us to be obedient to him until the day his son comes. In the second place, let's look at an explanation of this. Let's go right to the source now. The source is God's Word. It reveals God's thoughts. And now look at back to our text in Isaiah 55:8-9. We see that the prophet had said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the way God wants us to think. God wants us to think according to his word, according to his thoughts. You know, man, anytime we think, we're going to get in trouble. Our thoughts get us in trouble. Because in verse 7 of Isaiah 55, Isaiah wrote the unrighteous, he's talking about the unrighteous man, his thoughts. When the unrighteous think, they don't think about God. They don't think about the thoughts of God. The way of the wicked. The way of the wicked is looked at there in Isaiah 55:7. The unrighteous man, his thoughts. The unrighteous man does not seek God. We also have another synonym for this. Is ignorance. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. Paul's talking about the Gentiles there. He says these people, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Men choose not to follow God. Men choose to, having their understanding darkened or being sin. And then they choose to, they don't want to do what God wants them to do, but they want to do what they want to do, and they won't be, they're alienated, they're separated from God and from the life that His Son offers to every person on the earth today. They do it for the ignorance that's in them because they don't want to study the Word. Because of the blindness of their spiritual heart. Because of the blindness of their lives. And they have this ignorance. But they can get rid of this ignorance by knowing God through His Word. Then we have the word ingratitude. Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. There's that word again, darkened. He says, these people knew who God was, but they choose not to follow Him. They choose not to glorify Him in their lives. They choose not to do what His will is. Neither were they thankful for the blessings which God gave them. Neither were they thankful because they became vain, or they became empty in their thinking, in their imaginations, and their foolish heart. The wisdom of the world was making their heart darken. Then we see unrighteous thoughts. People had unrighteous thoughts in the Bible. The first recorded sin in the book of Acts is found in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. Ananias and Sapphira, the case of those two individuals. Listen to what Peter said to Ananias. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And Peter just wanted to know, why did Satan allow, why did you obey Satan in having that unrighteous thought? To lie to the Holy Ghost, you keep back part of the price of the land, him and his wife, Sapphira, and they didn't have to do that. Because it was in their own power how much they got for the land, and they could have been honest with Peter and the rest of the apostles, well, we got this much from the land, so this is how much we want to give you. But now Satan got in their heart and they lied to the Holy Ghost. Let's look at another case. Acts 8. Simon, the sorcerer's sin. Acts 8, 21, 22. Now you remember this is a case of Simon was wanting to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter had told him, beginning in verse 21, there is neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Simon, this is what you need to do. He says, you're not right before God. His view of God was clouded. His view of God wasn't correct. He says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if, conditional word if, perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. He says, you got to make the first step, Simon. You got to repent. After you repent, You got to repent of what? Of this thy wickedness. What do you have to do after you repent? He said, pray to God. If, perhaps, have you truly repented, the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee by Jesus Christ. God's mind is revealed in His Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. Paul would say, but God had revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea or yes, the deep things of God. God puts in this book what He wants us to know. What He doesn't want us to know, we don't have to worry about. We got 66 books, Jim, to study before examination day on Day of Judgment. And we need to be prepared for that, for the great test. But you know, even in our society, there's a danger. People say, well, God reveals His message to me through dreams, through visions, through special revelations. You know, I kind of get upset with that. If God has a special revelation for some individual and didn't tell me about it. You know, this has special revelation. But God doesn't have special revelation. We get all our information from the Bible. And like Jim was talking this morning about this is the book that we get, that we need, own book we need to get our information. Third thing, a declaration. Look at verse 12 of Isaiah 55. Last verse of the text. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains of the hills shall break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. We see, ye shall be with joy. You find God, you have joy. You go forth with peace. You find God, you find salvation. You find justification. You find reconciliation. In Romans chapter 5, 8 through 10, let's look at that passage. Paul said, but God commended love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. As I said before, we find salvation. What was the salvation? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Was buried in a tomb, rose from the dead. We can find justification. He said, in verse 9, He said, we're justified by the blood of Christ and we can be saved from the wrath of God through His Son, Jesus. Then we can find reconciliation. The word reconcile means to buy back. He said, we're reconciled to God now. We were enemies before Jesus came and took our place on the cross and rose from the dead. He said, we're reconciled to God by the death of His Son, said Paul. And in doing that, He said, now we're much more reconciled and we can be saved by His life. By His an example. Therefore, we have real meaning. We have real purpose in life. We have fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. John says this is a key. We can have real meaning. We can have purpose in life if we walk in the light. Because Christ is in the light, and we can have fellowship of this joint participation with one another as Christians, with Jesus Christ through His blood, and even with the Father, because the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin, said John. And then we can have the love for and of the brethren. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. John said, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know that we are obedient to God. We see who God is. Now we're God seekers. And He says, therefore, the strength that comes our way from the Word of God, from Jesus, and from God Himself helps us in the struggles of our lives. Therefore, we can have hope. Jim talked about hope this morning. Expectation. The hope of eternal life. The expectation of having eternal life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. Paul says, "For we are saved by hope." But hope that is not seen is not hope. Why? Because if you see it, then it ceases to be hope because it becomes reality. For one man seeth, what does he yet hope for? He said, if you see what you're hoping for, then that's not hope anymore. Because the life of God's child is never at a hopeless end. Because it has endless hope. We always have endless hope in this life. So therefore, the conclusion to this lesson, life's greatest joy is for those who seek God and find Him. Therefore, God rewards seekers after Him. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He says you have to have faith. And having faith, He said, if you don't have this faith, you can't please God. Because if you have pleased God, then God has His own criteria for you. You must believe that God is, that these men, 40 men of the Bible, that wrote the Bible, talked, wrote about God as He revealed Himself to them. And they believe, you must believe that God is. You must be a God seeker because He is a rewarder of them who diligently, the word diligently means put every ounce of effort you have into it. Diligently seek Him. How do you seek God? Seek by faith. Go to God's Word. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, as Paul told Timothy. Life's greatest joy, therefore, is finding God, being obedient to Him, obeying Him, and then ultimately you will be saved, and then you will have the benefits of eternal life. Are you a God seeker tonight? Do you seek for God? You never obeyed the gospel of Christ. We see that you have interest in God by being in this assembly. We see that you have to think in your mind. You heard this presentation, this lesson from God's Word. Now, do you believe it? If you believe it, are you willing to act upon that belief? Are you willing to confess your sins before God? Confess His Son before this assembly and be baptized for remission of sins. Or if you need to rededicate your life, if you've not been a God seeker in your life, you have once before, but now you see that the weight of the world and Satan and the ways of the devil has pulled you away. You need to come back. You need to come back home. You need to renew your relationship to God and seek after Him, that you will be ready for when His Son comes to judge the world in righteousness. If you need to respond, we encourage you to come now as we stand and sing.